You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and you're with us on the Save the Marriage Podcast. We're here to help you save your marriage by giving you advice, different perspective, thoughts, and techniques on how to save and improve your marriage, how to reconnect, how to find better ways of relating to each other. And I wanted to start today with a question. Are you an ask-hole with your spouse? Let me very carefully say that. Are you an ask-hole with your spouse? Now, if you haven't heard that, that is a term that has popped up, a little slang term for how people, when they're asking, can be, you know, a-holes, how they can be not helpful. And so I just was pondering that as I was walking with my dog this morning about how often I see that, how often I see people who are that kind of person. So you might ask yourself that question, am I being an ask-hole with my spouse? You may not be doing it with anyone else, but if you're doing it there, you're destroying the possibilities of a couple of things. One, of building connection. Two, of learning about what might make a difference. And three, about having your spouse feel heard. And those are all very important pieces. If we're not learning about what needs to change, nothing's going to change in the relationship. If our spouse is not feeling heard, nothing is going to shift in the connection. You know, I talk a lot about those as really two central pieces of the three C's of saving a marriage. When I talk about those three C's very quickly are to connect with your spouse, to change yourself, and create a new path. So we've already named those first two very crucial pieces of the puzzle, how you change yourself and how you connect with your spouse. And if you are an ask-hole, you will not be changing yourself. You won't be taking in the information that's going to help you change yourself, and you certainly will not be building the connection with the spouse because your spouse is not going to be heard. So let's talk for a couple of minutes about some ways you might be an ask-hole with your spouse. First is when, you know, I suggest that you ask what needs to change, what needs to happen. Not I'm talking about in the relationship, but what is going on with you that needs to change. So a lot of times I have spouses because I've watched it in my office. And if it happens in my office, it happens around the table and at the coffee shop and lots of other places where a spouse will say, hey, you know what? I really want to make some changes in my life. And I would just like for your perspective to be something that I know about. I would like to hear your perspective on what you think I need to change. And then I watch the ask-holeness arise. And that's when a spouse then takes a few minutes of vulnerability, of risk to say, this is what bothers me. This is some places I see that you could grow. Now, one of the things that I'm really clear about is that usually, often, a spouse is able to give a very good perspective on some things that are recurring issues in your life because they're seeing it so many times. Your spouse is constantly seeing you at your best, at your worst, and in between. And that gives a frame of reference that's not true anywhere else. Now, sometimes there's a bias to what they think needs to change because they want you to be more like what they want. So you have to kind of run it through that meter, right? But before you run it through the meter, you've got to be able to take it in. And so a lot of times people will ask for what needs to change, then argue every single point about it. And what they're trying to do is refute the accuracy of what the spouse is saying. Now, again, you may want to very carefully think through whether what they're saying is applicable to you, whether what's being said is accurate for you. But when you're doing that with your spouse, when you're arguing the point for your with your spouse, what you're basically saying is, I asked for your opinion and now I'm going to slam it. I only asked for your opinion because I want to be able to prove to you that I'm not what you think I am, rather than I want to hear from you so that I can make some shifts and some changes in my life. Notice how that happens. Here you are with a great opportunity for A, getting great feedback, and two, building great connection with the spouse. You've created a great question. What do you see in me that might need a little bit of change? And then you're saying, oh, well, let me tell you why that's not true. And down you go through the list. So you can easily be an ask-hole with your spouse when you ask for how to change and then argue every point they give you. Another way you can be an ask-hole with your spouse is when you ask your spouse's opinion and then do the exact opposite. And a lot of times we find that there is a natural resistance whenever there's a disconnection. So it's easy to get into that habit, but you know, sometimes I'll watch couples and one will ask for some advice, ask for some thoughts, ask for some opinion, and do the exact opposite. I've told this story before, but I haven't told it in a long time, and I don't know that I've told it on the podcast. But years ago, I had a couple who came into my office, and I said, you know, just wondering what the recurring fight is, because you guys seem to, every week you come in, you tell me how you're fighting with each other, how you're constantly arguing, and I'm just wondering what it is that kind of sets you off, because what I've noticed is sometimes couples really find a shortcut to the argument. You know, they'll say one word, and suddenly you're in it, and I'm just wondering what that recurring argument is for you. She looked at him, he looked at her, and she turned to me and she said, that would be lawnmower. And with that one, well, two words, lawnmower, the tone in the room went from warm and cozy to ice cold and angry. And so I asked, what's that about? And what happened was years ago, there was a need for a new lawnmower. And the husband was very busy at work, had lots of projects going, and wasn't actually the one who mowed the grass. And so the wife said, you know, I've got to go out and find this lawnmower. And so she asked what her husband thought, what opinion he had. And he noted his opinion of what brand that he really liked. And so then the wife went and talked to her father and talked to her brother and bought the brand of lawnmower that they said, which was the one brand that the husband said he never wanted to see at his house. This is a good example of how to be an ask-hole. Ask for your spouse's opinion about something, and then do the exact opposite. No matter what the reason is for doing the exact opposite, it's going to feel like an affront to the spouse who's just been asked their opinion and then had their opinion completely thrown to the side. That's what makes it so painful and disconnecting. So this couple was still fighting over that because for the husband, what it represented was the fact that he had no voice in his home. He had no voice in how things were run, and his wife completely disregarded his opinion, his beliefs, his thoughts, completely out the door. So when we ask opinions and do the exact opposite, we are being an ask-hole with our spouse. Okay, another way we can do that is when we ask and then we get into the yeah, but. And so we ask for something and the yeah, buts. You know the yeah, buts? So that we ask about something and they say something and we go, yeah, but, and we argue the point by point. It may not be that we're asking them to tell us about us or we're asking for an opinion, but we're talking about something, ask a question, and then yeah, but it to death. We cut off the communication when we do that. We cut off the possibility of that connection when we do that. So the question is no longer one of connection. An inquiry can be about connection. Suddenly it's no longer about connection, but it's getting into this pattern where we're shoving against what our spouse is telling us. How about this? When questions are really a prelude to an interrogation. You ever had that? You know, we watch it all the time on TV where the attorney or the police officer is using questions to set the person up. So they're asking these questions that don't seem to be any big deals only because they're trying to get to the place where they have the person cornered. So the question is really a way of chasing down the person and pinning them down and pushing them up against the wall. And it's the beginning point of an interrogation. That's being an ask-hole with your spouse. So just kind of question whether sometimes you use questions as a way of cornering them. Sometimes we don't even ask questions that are answerable. Don't you even care about the family? Do you really love your job more than us? Do you really fill in the blank, love your activity, love your friends, love whatever, your hobby more than us? Am I really that bad of a person? And every one of those is just gaining a leverage point to begin to build a case against the spouse. And so whenever we use questions as a prelude to interrogation, we are being an asshole for our spouse, and we're putting them into a difficult place, because what happens is they learn not to answer questions in the future. We train people around us on what happens with the questions. If a question is not really an inquiry, it really is an interrogation, then the next time that question comes, they're a bit more cautious, a bit more guarded, a bit more reserved, because the fear is that they're going to go to the same place again. So they often will create a little bit of distance. And as you know, whenever there's distance, the disconnection begins to grow. Now, often these questions that lead to an interrogation have a little bit of an edge to them, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes we're using some, you know, little trickery. We act nice and sweet, and what we're really doing is getting ready to snap the trap. And so if you find yourself at that place where the question really is you getting ready to pursue your spouse, to pin them down, to trap them in their story, recognize that that's being an asshole. Or how about this? When you ask questions, but you have no interest in the person's answers. Let's face it, sometimes we just ask a question and then basically tune out. We stop listening to the answer. Maybe we don't like the answer, but often it's just because we have tuned out the other person. We've actually tuned them out, and they're no longer even in our frame of reference. And so when that happens, boy, we're really, you know, putting them to the side, and we're really being an asshole. So part of what I'm asking is, what happens when we're asking the questions? Why are we doing it? The last way I want to describe how some people end up being assholes with their spouse is when they ask the same question over and over again because they don't like the answer that they get. So they keep asking it, trying to get a different answer. Sometimes it's about an incident. You know, I watch this as people want to know the reason why something happened. For instance, why an affair happened. So I'll hear over and over, why did the affair happen? And so the person will give reason. They'll go, that can't be it. Why did the affair happen? And the person will answer, I don't believe that. Why did it happen? They give a reason. They'll say, that's just an excuse. Why did it happen? And around we go with the same question just because they don't like the answer. Are we going to be able to save our marriage? The person says, I don't think so. Are we going to be able to save our marriage? I don't think so. Are we going to be able to save our marriage? I don't think so. And around they go, same question over and over again, trying to get a different answer. When we do that, what we're creating is more and more resistance and more frustration for the other person, because they're hearing the same question knowing that they've answered it. Hearing the same question, knowing that their answer hasn't changed, and yet being pushed for another answer just because the other person doesn't like it. At that point, we have seriously become assholes with our spouse. Okay, so what do we do about that? What do you do if you identify that you're in one of those spots? Well, with a lot of things, the first thing is being able to name it, being able to say, wow, you know what? I am being an asshole when I'm doing that. I have got to change how I'm talking with my spouse. Remember, questions are to learn and gain information. Any other use of a question than that gets us to the point where we're beginning to be manipulative. We're not asking a question anymore because we want to learn and gain information. We're trying to gain advantage, or we're trying to gain some level of angle that we can then pursue. And at that point, we are no longer asking a question for a question. We're asking a question for manipulation, for trying to get our spouse to a new position. So once we've identified that, once we've been able to say, oh gosh, those are the places where I tend to be that asshole, then we have to begin to be true with ourselves about that. This is a real self-confrontation. If you can say, yes, I've done that. Yes, I do that. Now, let me pause here and say, this is not where you say, yes, my spouse does that to me. You can identify it, and you may now be able to have some new terms for that. But as we have said week after week, you have no power to change what your spouse does. You only have the power to change how you act and react, how you act and respond, how you chose to move forward with this, how you choose to move forward with your plan to save your marriage. That's what you have control over. So if you're sitting here going, my spouse does that to me, change that to, do I do that to my spouse? Because if I do, I need to change how I'm interacting with my spouse. I need to change how I'm moving forward with those questions. Questions are to learn and gain information. Anything other than that begins to muddy the water and begins to make it more and more difficult for us to connect and for us to change ourselves because we're no longer listening. So a couple of things you can do in order to work on that pattern for yourself. Number one is to be committed to listening. Now, I know that sounds obvious, but so many of us are committed to something else. We're committed to proving our point. We're committed to an argument. We're committed to our yeah buts. We're committed to an interrogation. We're committed to something else that pulls our attention away from our spouse. We're committed to finding the answer we want, not the one our spouse has. All of those commitments are what we covered in the ways that you could be an asshole for your spouse and are not about listening to your spouse, not about listening to where your spouse is, listening for the perceptions, listening for the concepts your spouse might be able to give you, the information your spouse might be able to share, the ways your spouse may be able to inform you on the way forward. Even if they're not saying directly, they give you the information you need to begin to create a new path. So a big piece of listening is my second point. Allow your spouse to have your spouse's own opinion. Even if you disagree with their opinion, you have to allow your spouse to have a different opinion. Everyone is entitled to that opinion, right? I mean, we hear that all the time. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. A lot of times we turn it around and what people really say is, everybody's entitled to my opinion. And then we're stuck in this place of asking questions only to get them to our point of view. Now, I want to point out a very important distinction. There is a difference between understanding what somebody is saying and agreeing or accepting what they're saying. This is a crucial difference that is so important to have in mind as you're listening. So when you're listening, what you're doing is trying to understand where the other person is coming from, to get to the point, not just that you understand, but that your spouse feels understood. There are two levels to that. There is the level of you understanding, and then there's the level of your spouse feeling understood. So part of the listening process is to be attuned to what's coming your way, not attuned to what you disagree with. I have a friend who does a lot with Christian-Muslim dialogue, and I remember years ago he remarked to me that when he is in conversation with somebody, he's listening to them so intently that he may be changed to their point of view, that he has to suspend his place, not that he gives up what everything he believes, but for that moment of listening, he has to suspend his beliefs in order to listen to where the other person is coming from. At the point when he understands where they're coming from, he can decide whether he agrees or disagrees with them. But in the understanding part, it's listening so intently that you may be swayed to that other person's opinion. Otherwise, you're not going to get to the place where the person's going to feel understood. So as they are talking, you're repeating back and you're checking to make sure that you're understanding. And what you're aiming for is the point when the person says, okay, you understand where I'm coming from. And sometimes you even ask, is that right? Do I have that right? Do I understand you? And if the person can say, yep, you understand me, say, okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood you. Now, notice that at this point, you can revert back to that old model. If you're not careful, you become the asshole when you then say, well, you're wrong, and let me tell you why you're wrong. But if you say, I understand where you're coming from, and if after that the person says, so do you agree with me? You can say, you know, I don't agree with you, but I do understand where you're coming from. What you're going to notice is that what most people want is for people to understand them. What we most need is to feel understood. Not that the person agrees with us and accepts what we're saying or accepts our viewpoint. They can accept what we believe without accepting our viewpoint for themselves. And we all have that capacity. When we get to that point, we are truly listening. Okay, also, Another point of this is to be open to feedback. You know, that's a very tough one. And I would say that's, for me, is always my challenge. I remember years ago when I was doing a presentation as I was working for my scuba certification. And so I was giving a presentation. This was for my certification as an instructor. And I was in front of a group of other instructors and in front of a group of people who were trying to become instructors. And as we were being critiqued, I remember one of the responses I thought was just unfair. And so when the person gave me the feedback, I refused to listen to it. Not openly. I mean, the person wasn't even as clear about that as I was. But I realized when I sat down that my words to that person were representing to me that I was not accepting the feedback, that I had to go back and really listen. And so after that point, after we had a break, I went back to the person. I said, can you tell me more about what you saw in my presentation? Can you tell me more about your thoughts? Because I was aware that when I was in front of everybody, and I really was kind of setting myself up for that, because as I was going through, I really felt like I'd done a good job, that what I was really expecting was just a pat on the back and somebody say, hey, great job, no problem. And I wasn't ready for a great job, but here's some feedback. And so when the person was giving me feedback, I cut it off. So I went back to her and said, can you give me some more feedback? Can you help me understand where I kind of detoured away from that? It's a challenge for all of us to be open to feedback. We all like to think that we have it together, that we're doing good, that we are on track. And sometimes that's such a challenge that we're not open to feedback, that we're not open to another person's opinion. So be open to feedback. Just decide that you need that feedback and you're going to get that feedback. And finally, be willing to be challenged by the person's answers. Be willing to be challenged, not to challenge them, but to be challenged by the answers. When you ask how things can change, what needs to happen, how you can change, how the relationship might have some possibilities, be willing to be challenged by that. Be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to take that on. I'm going to work to change myself. I'm going to work to create a new path. I'm going to work to connect with my spouse, and I'm going to step up to that challenge. I'm not going to flee from it. I'm not going to get away from it. I'm not going to allow my fears to shut me down. I'm not going to allow my own lack of comfort with myself, or I'm not going to allow my own self-image, or I'm not going to allow anything else to get in my way. Whatever is available for me to learn, whatever it is that can take me to the next level up, I want to be open to it. I want to be open to the feedback, and I want to be willing to be challenged by those answers and step up into the challenge to show up in the future with a new way of being because of the feedback I get. We never change unless we get some feedback somehow that tells us differently. So sometimes we get to ourselves. We suddenly go, you know what, this just isn't working. I've got to make a change. Sometimes we get it from other people who say, you know what, this isn't working. This has got to change. But the only way we ever grow in life is to receive feedback and decide to be challenged by it. And the only way we can get to that point is by listening to the responses of the people around us, whether they are verbally to our questions or nonverbal in their response to us. When we begin to be open to the feedback, when we begin to work to listen to our spouse and to accept the viewpoint of our spouse, not agree with it, but understand and accept that that's where they are, when we can understand where they're coming from, we can begin to unlock the doors that allow us to change, that allow us to change ourselves, that allow us to connect with our spouse, and then create a new path for our relationship. Okay, so your challenge this week is to not be an asshole with your spouse. If you identified places where you have been, work to change that. Work to be a person who is listening and is treasuring the difference of your spouse's opinion, becomes open to feedback, and is challenged by the answers. Hope this has been helpful. A couple of things you can do to help us. One is to go to iTunes and leave a review. If you listen to this in iTunes, if you've got your subscription so it always comes to your device, some podcasting device, then go to iTunes and give us a review. Let people know that this is a great way of improving their relationship, even if their marriage isn't in trouble. And if you want to, if you're on Twitter, it's easy to show us a little Twitter love. All you have to do is type in your browser, savethemarriage.com/Twitter. save/love. That's savethemarriage.com/love. It will create a pre-populated tweet for your feed. You just hit send and it'll let people know how to get there. You can change it if you want to, but it'll send people with a link straight to the blog post so they can find what you found. Also, if you're interested in those three C's, if you're not sure where that came from, that's in my book. You can find that easily. You can purchase it on Amazon by going to savethemarriage.com/Kindle. It's not just a Kindle version. It's also in paperback, but you can get it there. And if you haven't already, let me suggest that you grab the Save the Marriage system by going to savethemarriage.com. Until next week, I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.